NTSB says Continental 3407 was on autopilot. Regionals continue struggling with the puddle jumper stigma. And a former NASA astronaut breaks with the agency's stand on global warming. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, February 17, 2009. A National Transportation Safety Board official confirmed on Sunday that Continental Express Flight 3407 was on autopilot in apparent icing conditions up to the final moments preceding its crash near Buffalo last Thursday. Per FAA recommendations, the plane's operator, Colgan Air, recommends pilots fly the plane manually during icing conditions and requires it in severe icing. Preliminary info from the flight data recorder indicates the first the crew knew there was a problem was when the stick shaker triggered. The autopilot had been adjusting trim till it ran out of range. Check with our website for current updates on the investigation at aero-news.net. The story of Flight 3407 is highlighting a popular misconception. Despite the fact that they're built and operated to the same safety standards as big jets, smaller commercial aircraft often flown on regional routes, especially turboprops, are seen as less safe by many travelers. The issue could be a growing one as airlines deploy more small planes to meet shrinking demand. MIT researcher Peter Belababa notes, quote, "Because of current economics, it doesn't make sense to fly larger airplanes. We have seen a renewed interest in turboprops for 50 and 70 seats because of their fuel efficiency," unquote. The New York Times reports that 75% of U.S. commercial airports are connected to the bigger hubs only by regional and commuter planes, usually with 100 seats or less. Almost 5% of scheduled commercial flights, like Flight 3407, use the Bombardier -8. Getting flyers comfortable with propellers certainly is not an insurmountable task. When two landing gear incidents involving SAS Q400s briefly grounded the worldwide fleet for inspections in September 2007, frequent customers of Horizon Air, which operates an all-Bombardier fleet, told Seattle area media they appreciated the Q400 for its legroom, storage space for carry-ons, and relative quiet. Former Apollo 17 astronaut Harrison Schmitt is breaking with NASA on the issue of global warming. The 74-year-old Albuquerque resident has a science degree from the California Institute of Technology, a doctorate in geology from Harvard, and studied geology at the University of Oslo in Norway. He's been invited to speak next month at the International Conference on Climate Change in New York. Schmitt says geological evidence shows Earth's temperature has risen about 1 degree per century since the 1400s, with a commensurate rise in CO2. But he calls the global warming scare, quote, "a political tool to increase government control over American lives, incomes, and decision-making," unquote. So why are many scientists, including those at NASA, on board with the man-made theory? Schmitt observes, quote, "they've seen too many of their colleagues lose grant funding when they haven't gone along with the so-called political consensus that we're in a human-caused global warming," unquote. The conference will be hosted by the Heartland Institute. Schmitt was invited after he resigned from the Planetary Society, which came out in support of the notion that humans have caused global warming. As the endurance of modern jet airliners has reached past 12 hours, ancient FAA regulations regarding minimum rest periods for flight crews haven't kept up with the times. In 2006, Delta had scientists study sleep patterns of its crews and created a set of more stringent voluntary standards, which, among other things, require 48 hours off before shifts as long as 23 hours, and then 24 hours of rest in the destination city afterward. Delta flies with 4 pilots on its long hauls, including 2 captains. The FAA applauded the move, and in October, adopted new rules for all airlines, patterned after Delta's program. But American, Continental, and other affected airlines filed a lawsuit in December, attempting to stay the new rules until the FAA conducts a formal rulemaking process. Now, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports the Allied Pilots Association, which represents pilots at American, is accusing the airline of stalling to save money, increasing the risks of fatigue-related mistakes. Delta is asking to intervene in the suit, telling the court the outcome could affect Delta's, quote, "ability to sustain safe and economically viable operations," unquote. Translating, Delta is concerned about 2 possible outcomes. If formal rulemaking was to dial back the rest or staffing requirements for its competitors, Delta would be stuck with its more expensive voluntary program. If the requirements are increased to require 6 pilots on long hauls, costs would go up for everyone. The FAA says it has no intention of starting a formal rulemaking procedure. Up next on ANN, could North Korea really get a satellite into orbit? Will Obama take delivery of 28 personal helicopters? And Lockheed workers say defense spending is an obvious stimulus plan candidate. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 17th. I'm Paul Platt. U.S. intelligence based on spy satellite photos suggests North Korea is preparing another test of a long-range Taipodong 2 missile. North Korea has responded to the accusation by claiming it's getting set to launch a satellite. CNN cites reports from South Korea's Yonhap News Agency that the claim may be posturing ahead of this week's planned visit to South Korea by U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. North Korea's official Korean Central News Agency called the missile test accusation a vicious trick. Quote, one will come to know later what will be launched in the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Space development is the independent right of the DPRK and the requirement of the developing reality. Unquote. Yonhap reports this would not be North Korea's first try at space. After a similar launch in 1998, the country claimed success in putting a satellite in orbit. U.S. intelligence officials later said a 3-stage missile had been used as a launch vehicle for a small satellite, but the attempt failed when the 3rd stage broke up before reaching orbit. South Korean Foreign Minister Yoo Young-won told his parliament, quote, whether it is a missile or a satellite, a launch would constitute a violation of the U.N. Security Council's Resolution 1718, unquote. Against the backdrop of his administration's indiscriminate condemnation of private aircraft, President Obama is about to decide whether to proceed with a costly, delay-plagued program to replace the fleet of Marine One presidential helicopters. The International Herald Tribune reports each new VH-71 helicopter, built by partners Lockheed Martin and Augusta Westland, has ballooned to $400 million each, and 28 of the expensive machines are designated just for Obama's personal fleet. Pennsylvania Congressman Joe Sestak, a Democrat and a retired Navy vice admiral, observes, quote, the nation is crying for accountability from Wall Street to Congress to Iraq, unquote. Marine One helicopters are most often used to transport the president and staff members from the White House to Andrews Air Force Base or Camp David. First deliveries of the VH-71 are scheduled for 2010. The federal government is armed with roughly $800 billion to stimulate the economy. A predictable recommendation is coming from defense industry circles. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports another 95,000 jobs nationwide could be in jeopardy if the Obama administration decides to discontinue production of the F-22 Raptor. A decision is expected by March 1st. Jeff Gohn is president of Local Number 709 of the International Association of Machinists. He made his case to the newspaper. Of Obama, he notes, quote, in his bid for the presidency, he said he'd maintain jobs. Well, here's 95,000 jobs as opposed to cutting 95,000 jobs. I don't see how he cannot approve it, unquote. When asked if the more secure F-35 program won't offer as many jobs as the F-22 program could lose, Gohn says the problem would be the 3-year gap before F-35 production ramps up. Besides, he says, the union wants both. Quote, if the F-22 stays and there's money for 60 additional aircraft, our manpower numbers in Marietta will be up by 1,000-plus employees, unquote. Of the IAM's relationship with Lockheed, Gohn says it's better than it's been in years. He says the principal issues on the horizon for the next contract are maintaining pension and health care benefits. Runway 826 at Lexington Bluegrass Airport in Kentucky, which gained notoriety as the scene of a deadly mistake that cost 49 lives in 2006, was officially closed down on Friday. Comair Flight 5191 was cleared for takeoff on the airport's 7,000-foot main runway 22 the morning of August 27th, but the crew began takeoff instead on runway 26, which is only half that long. The plane reached the end of the runway with inadequate speed to rotate. The only survivor of the resulting crash was the first officer. A $27 million project to replace the runway is expected to be complete in 2010. That new runway will be 4,000 feet long and will not intersect with the main runway. Still ahead, Northwest customers protest peanuts as airline snacks. Bruce Landsberg gets a promotion. And Tommy Lee vouches for David Martz. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, February 17th. I'm Paul Plack. Sometimes you just can't win. Customers of Northwest Airlines are complaining about the reintroduction of peanuts as a snack on flights. Northwest has adopted the custom, which has remained a staple of new parent company Delta, which is headquartered in Atlanta. Peanuts are a major cash crop in Georgia. CNN reports Northwest introduced the snack February 1st, just in time for a national salmonella outbreak tied to peanuts processed at Peanut Corporation of America in Georgia. But some comments to the Minneapolis Star Tribune have other issues with the practice. One reader writes, quote, "My wife's allergy is so severe that if someone is sitting next to her and eating peanuts, the odor is enough to trigger an allergic reaction," unquote. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control, ironically also based in Atlanta, says 3 million Americans have varying levels of nut allergies. The most severe reactions can lead to difficulty breathing, hospitalization, and in rare cases, death. Delta is aware of the issue and says it will create a buffer zone of 3 rows each side of peanut allergy sufferers so flight attendants can serve alternative snacks in that part of the cabin. Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association President Craig Fuller announced Friday that Bruce Landsberg, who's been the executive director of the AOPA Air Safety Foundation for 17 years, has been promoted to president of the foundation. Fuller notes that Landsberg's efforts, quote, have made the AOPA Air Safety Foundation the first stop for general aviation pilots who are striving to become safer pilots, unquote. ASF was founded in 1950 to help general aviation pilots improve flight safety. The foundation produces live seminars, online interactive courses, videos, written safety advisors, and other aviation safety materials for free distribution to all general aviation pilots. Prince Harry's first weeks at flying school hit a snag recently when the 24-year-old royal flunked a written theory-based exam at an RAF base in Lincolnshire. A royal family source told News of the World, quote, "Harry didn't reach the grade, but he will have plenty of other opportunities to pass it," unquote. Prince Harry began his flight training last fall with a 4-week aptitude assessment process. He's logged 13 hours of dual time with a civilian flight instructor in a 2-seat Slingsby Firefly. He hopes one day to fly an Apache helicopter on the front lines, although he may be assigned to reconnaissance duty in a Lynx or Gazelle, depending on his ability. Military officials say that if he makes the grade, Harry will be sent wherever his unit is sent, which could include Afghanistan. And finally, Motley Crue drummer Tommy Lee has come to the defense of his friend and pilot, David Martz, charged with flying erratically while under the influence of alcohol 2 weeks ago. Lee says the band did a show in Palm Springs, and on the way home diverted to get a closer look at a house fire, allegedly coming too close to a police helicopter. The drummer continues, quote, "We were on the ground, and I had in my backpack a bottle of vodka mixed with lemonade. As soon as we landed, my pilot, Dave, said, 'Hey, where's that vodka?' I grabbed it, and he takes two big giant sips straight out of the vodka bottle. Right when he was drinking it, the cops walked out and said, "Who's the pilot of that helicopter?" They gave him a sobriety test and all that. He's like, "Guys, I just had two shots of vodka after we landed. Now it's a little late to be testing me. Do you know what I mean?" So that was it. No big deal, unquote. The FAA has been investigating. But hey, now that Martz has a character witness, I'm sure they'll call the whole thing off. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, it's part two of Jim Campbell's conversation with Cirrus Aircraft President Brent Wouters. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.